going to adoption for family? When I'm going to birth as women for taking the agenda. Thank you. As well, know that today we're meeting on the audit outcomes and turnaround strategy and other issues that we will raise as we continue along this meeting. I would like to welcome you on this meeting. We'll just introduce members of the portfolio committee so that you can know them, who you are talking to. And good morning, Mr. Kava. And welcome to our meeting. My name is Tandile Sandula. I'm a member of the portfolio committee. I'm a member of the ANC. There is Honorable Nikki van der Bell, a member of this portfolio committee, a member of the ANC. And then you have all member of the No, you look like one of us. Then you have Honorable Tapane, who's a member of this committee, who's a member of UTM. You have Honorable Shilibana, who's a member of this committee, who's a member of the ANC. Or you have Honorable Mabunda, who is a member of the ANC. You have Honorable Jitaila, who is a member of COPE. Then next to me we've got our staff here. Next to me is Ajah William Jean, who is our committee secretary. Then you have Fiona Clayton. She's our committee researcher. You have Nkosi Zamuka, who is our content advisor for the committee. You have Mala Zomulak, who's our media person. You have Johnny Fan, the best season. There's Johnny. Johnny is our committee assistant. Then you have Vera went out. Then there should be someone from PMG. I don't know.
Sadiqa Khan.
Okay, she's from PNG. PNG is often coming to the monitoring group. So whatever you say here, it's recorded. So that's why you must be there to be. You know, the underwood. So whatever you say, it's recorded. So tomorrow you don't accuse us that we have said something. You say, I never said it. So everything that we are saying is recorded. And this is Vera, not with my assistant. Then we have Mambulelo coming in there from the study group. DG, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Busiso Kava, DG for Agriculture. I am accompanied by a few colleagues, Dr. Sakiwa Giso. He is responsible for Malaysian evaluation in the department. I'm going to introduce Professor Oliphant and ask him to introduce the team. Professor Oliphant is the chairperson of the Council of Digital Museums of South Africa. He is accompanied by the CEO, Mr. Makhulu Makhulu, and the rest of the team. But let me hand over to them to introduce the team.
Thank you, DG, and good morning to everyone in the portfolio committee and to the chair. We have a relatively large delegation here, and I'm not going to introduce each and every one of them. They may be able to do so when we get into the deliberations. They may be in a position to identify themselves. We are pleased to have been invited by the Portfolio Committee to make a presentation on the work of DITSOM, in particular the audit outcomes for 2011-2012 and the turnaround strategy. We have been fortunate that in the last 5 years we've had no qualifications, audit qualifications, and in the 2011-2012 period no qualifications and no matters of emphasis. But there are issues that still require attention.
Before I interject you, I think now once you to introduce them, everyone, so we can know, then you will give you time to start just so that you know who is the board members, as introduced, they know who is who, so that you can interact. Maybe you can just allow them to say who am
I.
We'll just
go down the road and then to the back seat. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Kosi Nancy Kauke, Finance Manager for the Zone Reserve of South Africa.
Good morning. My name is Makholo Makholo. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Zone Reserves of South Africa.
Good morning, members. I am Tandi Sakawi, the Chief Executive.
Good morning, members. My name is Neo Malau, the Director of the National Zone Museum of Cultural History, as well as an Acting Executive Director for Museums Operations. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lungile Gwambi, HR Manager for the Museum of South Africa.
Morning. My name is Bona Nyamose. I am the Director at the Digital National Museum of Natural History.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Glenn Boko. I'm Acting Head Registrar of the Museum of South Africa.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Temba Ndebele Munyera. I'm the Director of the South African National Museum of Natural History.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm the HAU representative at the Zone Museums of South Africa. My name is Klas Manamela.
Good morning. I'm Moritz Nadir, and I'm representing one of the other unions, SATU, at the Zone National Museums of South Africa.
Thank you to the Zone Museum team. Welcome to Parliament. One of the issues also I want to raise, when you speak on anything, please speak on the mic because we are recording. And what I would like to say, I think you are the lucky, I would say you are the most fortunate entity. 7 years of coming to Parliament, I wonder how did they miss you out. You know, when I was going through my records, I just said no, there's no way that. So I think you are not that fortunate. Prof, welcome with your team to Parliament. I know when people come to Parliament, they shake whatever. And media is not there, so you are fortunate enough that whatever I will say, they can capture it, they can get it, it's recorded, everyone's watching right now. So whatever you say, it must be true, so anyone can say anything. I think one of the issues, I must be very... Frank, DG, why we also ask for the representatives? It's because I think we've been getting a lot of letters about mainly, I would call them allegations now because they must be clarified in the document. And what I want to further clarify is that in South Africa, every member of this country or every citizen has got the right to write to us as public representatives. So no one must be victimized after this for writing to public representatives because I don't know your institution will make it clear to us. Because in other institutions, you'll find that some people end up writing to us because there's some element of dictatorship in that institution. There's a sort of victimization in that institution. That can't be mine, unfortunately. So I thought I should make it very clear. And we always say in the portfolio committee, we are not here to just look at the negative, but also try and find ways to assist if there are issues as well. Maybe you find that sometimes there are personal issues as well. They go beyond the being liberal issues. You find that they are personal. We've solved personal issues because they've got a direct impact on the work as well. And fortunately for the zone, they've not reached that media element because we find that sometimes we have to answer to media and everything. And also, I must take us into confidence with the council and sitting and your relations. Those are part of the issues that we are going to discuss. Members will ask you anything and you have to answer everything, you know. And you might ask an individual member here, you know, and I thought I should just make that one, that issue very, very clear. What I will do now, I'll give it over to you, Prof, and to your team, and you will give us a presentation. We then, after that, we will ask questions. Anyone can answer on the other side. And if the questions are not going to only be limited to the presentation, that also they will go beyond, and the vision knows where. So I think that's just really clear. That doesn't know the limit. I missed you last week. Those are issues that of me. Oh, thank you. My apologies. And it was, they're just in front of me. I've got a few apologies. I don't know. The first one is from the DDG of the department, Mustendima, and Mr. Mohatan. Mr. Ndima and Mohatan, they've got they're the part of the preparatory committee that is assigned to coordinate the Human Rights Day hosted in the Western Cape in next week in Mbekweni. Mr. Mswele from the Inkatha Freedom Front, Honorable Mswele, will not be attend because she's got a doctor's appointment today. One of our scouts, she's got an emergency at her place, constituency. And then Honorable Parai will be attending the visit of tourism. Minister Mashadile is attending a cabinet meeting today. Those are all the apologies. Any comments about apologies?
Thank you, Chair. What I'll do, I'll ask Mr. Makholo to make the presentation. You will be assisted by Mrs. Sakawuli, and we can kick the discussions off. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. For inviting our team to make a presentation to this portfolio committee. It is quite an honor for us to be here today. As the chairperson has already said, that is surprising that we have never come to this portfolio committee for the past 5 years. Maybe it's because we've been getting unqualified audits, though there have been some other identified items in the audit report of the Auditor General. But we felt that in this presentation, we should also give some background to what DITSOM is and is all about. Not saying that members do not know what this institution is all about, since under their portfolio committee. The Museums of South Africa is an amalgamation of 3 national museums and 5 historical sites. And this museums is the DITSOM National Museum of Military History in Johannesburg, the DITSOM National Museum of Natural History, formerly the Transvaal Museum, and its own National Museum of Cultural History. The 3 museums were amalgamated in 1999 under the Cultural Institutions Act of 1998. At the time, the government established 2 flagship institutions. One was the Northern Flagship Institution, the other one was the Southern Flagship Institution. The Southern Flagship Institution being what we now call Iziko Museums of Cape Town, and the Northern Flagship Institution being what we now call Dzo Museums of South Africa. We changed the name in 2010. So, in addition to this, we have five other historical sites, like the Kruger House, also in Pretoria, the Semi-Max Museum in Pretoria, the Willem Prinsloo Agricultural History Museum in Pretoria, the Zwaai Meteorite Crater in Pretoria, and Pioneer Museum also in Pretoria. All these five historical sites and the three museums constitute what we now call its own museums of South Africa. We are overseen by a Council of Trustees, which is appointed by the Minister of Arts and Culture. Our current council is headed by Professor Andries Olifant. As you can see in that picture, with the management team and the council members of the institution. We currently have six council members. There were seven, but one of them, due to workload, requested to withdraw from that council. We had others initially, and they also tendered their resignations, but the minister appointed additional two members, so they were seven. Now there are only six of them. Council has a council committee, which meet with management on specific issues before council meets. Due to the small number of council members, there is an overlap in their responsibilities. As you can see there, in terms of, we have Advocate Mpelo, who is the deputy chair, and Professor Olifant is the chairperson. And now we have the committee on core functions, which is chaired by Ms. Ofringa. And we have a committee on corporate services, which is chaired by Advocate Mpelo. And we also have the audit committee, which has an independent chairperson. So we have three committees, council committees, and they meet every time before council meets, and council meets four times per annum, unless if there are certain special matters which council has to attend to, they do meet on when necessary, in addition to their standing meetings. This is one of our museums, which is the former Transvaal Museum. It's now its own National Museum of Natural History. And this is our new structure. In 2003, when I joined the organization, something that I did not mention initially when I started, that I joined the organization in 2003, taking over from PricewaterhouseCoopers, because the organization was under administration. So I happen to have been the first CEO of the organization. And there were a lot of discrepancies at the time when I took over. Among them were salary conditions of service of the employees. And I immediately requested the Department of Arts and Culture to assist with job gradings, because there were a lot of disparities in salaries. That exercise was undertaken and completed. But at the same time, we also realized that when the museums were amalgamated, the government just said, okay, you're amalgamated, but they were not formally amalgamated. They continued to function as though they were autonomous institutions, but not one institution. And on the basis of that, we decided that we should actually implement the program. whereby we also focus on what this museum's responsibility is. We separated the corporate services from the core function, because even our budget was skewed, because our budget was going to corporate services and less attention to the core business of museums. So we managed to establish two key structures in the organization, the corporate services and the core function section, and was the audit section. And we unpacked what had to be under the branch corporate services, and we have the one on operations. And now when you look at that, we find that we also have an internal audit section, which is accountable directly to council. It's got nothing to do with management. Under all those sections, we managed to establish different branches. This restructuring of the organization was done in consultation with council. It was also done in consultation with the unions. And we also consulted all members of staff during the process of this restructuring of the organization. However, we managed to come with the structure, but unfortunately, once we had the structure, we realized that our budget is not enough to actually fill up all those positions. And then we said that we'll be able to fill this position as time goes on. If the following year we have enough budget, we'll fill in one or two positions. Currently, the position executive director responsible for core business is not filled in the corporate services. But we had to operate creatively and request other members of staff to take over some of the responsibilities in order to ensure that the operations of the organization move smoothly. At the executive level, as you can see, that in terms of the post-establishment, there are three executive managers and two vacancies, the three being the chief executive officer and the executive director responsible for core function and the executive director responsible for corporate services. In terms of senior management, as you can see there, we have eight positions. Currently, four are filled, and then we have four vacancies. In terms of middle management and specialists, as you can see, the post-establishment is 29. We have 14, but there are 15 vacancies. Supervisors and high-skilled, we have 86 post-establishment, and currently we have 59 and 27 vacancies. Lower level post is 187. Currently we have 107 posts which are filled and 80 which are vacant. And low-skilled workers, we have 18 at the moment. And we have 18 in the post-establishment. 16 are filled, there are two vacancies. In total, there are 331 posts in terms of the new structure which was approved by Council in 2010. Council has approved this structure. Now, it implies that currently the posts which have been filled are 201, and we have 130 posts which are currently vacant. So we are just using multi-skilling now in terms exercise of some of the responsibilities and awarding those who are doing over and above what they are doing by recognizing them at the end of financial year through the performance bonuses. So the contract workers which we have are 25, and intense and experiential trainees are 22. So that is the current status of the situation as far as the as far as staffing is concerned. And when you look at the employment equity, you find that administration and professional staff are 182. African there is 72.15%. Indian is 0.46%. Colored 0.45%. White is 26.94%. I don't know if I should just continue or members have any question to ask. Thank you. I don't think I need to go through the principal activities of the institution, but as outlined there, our core business or mandate is to deal with collections, conservation, safe management of national heritage collections, to do research, documentation, publication of such information for use by researchers and students, nationally and internationally, as well as the general public, participation in relevant meetings and conferences nationally and internationally, rendering of heritage-based service to the national and provincial departments, as well as municipalities, other museums, tertiary institutions, locally and internationally, and the public in general. I hadn't finished. Continue to engage on the implementation of the organizational development exercise, as I have already indicated. This is a process that is ongoing. And the development of two major exhibitions at the National Museum of Natural History and the International Museum of Cultural History. There are some exhibitions which we are working on. There are supposed to be three at the Natural History Museum and one at the Cultural History Museum. In terms of the transformation of the permanent exhibitions. For those who have been to the Natural History Museum, which is formerly Transvaal Museum, they know that when you get to the entrance, you'll always see an elephant, which I think has been there since 1959. And the exhibition itself has never been changed, but in the process of addressing that. It is hoped that the two exhibitions will be launched in the next financial year. Coordination of council and council committee meetings, these are our activities. Preparation of quarterly and annual reports, attendance of management and council meetings, participation in the Department of Arts and Culture meetings when necessary. Budget highlights. I'll give this to my CFO to address it.
And tasks that we have to perform, we also request some additional funds from the department. all revenue is generated from the admission fees, from that is entrance fees to the museum, the rental of facilities, the interest that we accrue on the reserves that we have accumulated since amalgamation, and the sale of services. The reserves, when the amalgamation took place in 1999, each entity were required to amalgamate also the funds that were accumulated by the various institutions, and we're keeping the reserves. We're currently having about 10 million, which are deposited with a reserve bank. Also, the grants that have been allocated over the years, we started from 11-12 financial year, and also the grant, we call it grant, it is now required to fill in the gaps that are there within the infrastructure. The growth in grant over the years, we started in 2014, it's 6.9, the following year, for 2014-2015, it's 6.2%, then 4.6 and 4.6. When we made the assumptions for growth in the own revenue, we use the same growth in the grant, which is 6.9, 6.2, 4.6, as given by the Department of Arts and Culture. We requested, or we were in the process of requesting additional funds from the department for core functions and filling of critical posts. We had submitted the proposal last year, but due to financial constraints, we could not get additional funds. Also, the reserves this year, if you check under the next financial year, with 2014, 14, 15, and 15, 16 financial years, we requested from the reserves through e-council the funding of 7 posts over the 3-year contract. The reason for that is to ensure that the implementation of Graph 103, which is applicable as from 12-13 financial year, is looked into and has enough resources. Not enough resources, but there is some human capital to perform the backlog in the collection. Water and electricity is another challenge that we're having, which is of that 5.365, which we requested from the reserves from council under 2013-14 financial year. Previously, Department of Public Works was taking care of the utility bill, but as from last year, they have since stopped that, and we never budgeted for that. And for this, for the next financial year, with the projections of this year and the additional 8% that has been approved by NERSA, we included or added 8% of the previous bill. This is just a graph. All right. Also, this is a breakdown of the budget in terms of the core functions, program 1 and program 2, which is museum operations and corporate services, and the allocation thereof. We have accessioning and inventory translocation, which is responsible for the implementation of Graph 103, which has also its own challenges. We'll talk to that. Conservation and restoration, public programs and exhibitions, natural corrections, cultural collections, and military collections. Program 2 also is administration, management, corporate services as well.
I should continue from here. In terms of the implementation of the organizational development structures, I've already stated that we have 331 identified positions and 201 positions currently filled. Not all filled due to budgetary constraints. And readiness to adopt Graph 103. As members may be aware, that there's a new standard which was set up by the National Treasury been given any additional funds to ensure that we undertake this exercise by the National Treasury. The cost implications for listing and valuation of collections, it's a very, very serious one, because it would imply that if we were to get private auctioneers to come and put value at some of our collections, such as some artworks, we are going to be actually having to pay millions and millions of rands to undertake that exercise on putting value on museum collections. Security as well. It would imply that we have to have armed security 24 hours at museums. If people were to know the value of all the objects which are at the museums. As the members are also still aware that at the moment, theft at museum has escalated internationally. Now, that's one of the challenges which we are currently facing, which we hope that probably Parliament will assist in addressing this matter. And lack of personnel as well to implement the GRAP 103. We're going to need a lot of people to do that. Backlog in curation of collections. We have a backlog to deal with all these collections. For instance, at the Cultural History Museum, we have more than 4 million objects, and we are expected to put values on those objects and be able to also actually account for each and every object. So if the Auditor General comes, we should be able to say that these are the values of this object. Staff retention and succession planning is one other key problem at the museums currently, because today, you find that most museums and curators who are there are actually aging. Some of them are retiring because of old age, which is attrition. Others are being taken by other institutions like universities. Others may go into their own private work and do archaeological impact assessments. And interest in the museum field among young people as well has declined, because most of these young people want to get jobs which will enable to buy BMWs in league. But as I always say, that museum field is a field of passion. It's not a field of people who want to get rich quick. Now, we don't have many people who are interested in studying fields like archaeology, anthropology, paleontology, or entomology. Although the Department of Arts and Culture has now come with a strategy of addressing this problem, the department is now offering bursaries to young people who want to study fields in museum-related fields. I think the first lot was taken last year, if I'm correct. Yes. So we are hoping that we'll be able to absorb these young people when they complete their degrees at the universities. And insufficient security at most sites, museums. We do have physical security at the museums, but we don't have adequate electronic security. That is being addressed with the Department of Agriculture as well, and we hope that this matter will be dealt with very soon. We have completed some of the projects with funds from the Department of Agriculture through the Department of Public Works at two of the museums, Natural History Museum and the Cultural History Museum. But we still need more electronic security, especially at the Military Museum and other site museums. The socio-economic issues and poor exhibits affect visitation to museums, leading to low-income generation. Because museums are places where you need to continually change your exhibits so that when people come, they keep on seeing new things. But if you've been there in 1960 and you come again in 2013 and you still see something that you saw in 1960, people's interests go down. Absorption of a utility bill of various museums has seriously affected our budget, as the CFO has just indicated, with the case of electricity. But we hope that the Public Works will come back to us, because we have written to them to bring this to their attention. Yes. Now, as I always say, that when you present problems, you must also come up with possible solutions. I don't think my counseling team is interested in me bringing problems to them without telling them on how those problems should be solved. Neither is the Department of Arts and Culture or the government. In terms of the implementation of the organizational development, we resorted to multitasking. We resorted to multitasking by ensuring that other members of staff do more work than what they have been employed to do. And there has been excellent cooperation from members of staff on this part, whereby they have agreed to take additional responsibilities based on the new structure. And then budget realignment to phase in implementation of the organizational structure. We have to continue thinking creatively in terms of realigning our budget. We have been to the National Treasury with the DG. The DG has made every effort to present the plight of institutions to the National Treasury. But it has always been stated that there are no funds. And we hope that the DG will keep on knocking at that door until it falls. Readiness to adopt the GRAP 103. You know, this GRAP 103 is a very, very, very difficult exercise for us to implement, and we are not ready. We have on several occasions indicated to the National Treasury about the cost implications of this. And the DG has also indicated to that. And I think the DG is still going to have some further meetings with the National Treasury on this matter. I hope I'm not implicating you. Yes, and the DG is still dealing with this matter. And as far as the suspension of GRAP 103 unit is properly researched and consulted, and provisional for additional budget to implement it is done, it's going to be very, very difficult for institutions. Hence, a request that the implementation of GRAP 103 be actually withheld until institutions are ready to deal with this standard. Updating the collections register and developing policies. As far as the register is concerned, with the resources which we are having, that one we indicated to the Auditor General that we'll make an effort that we update our register as far as accounting for all the collections is concerned. That we are currently doing. In terms of staff retention, succession planning, training, we have a training and development program in the institution. We also have performance recognition, continuous review of conditions of service,
Employment of retired staff on contract when necessary. Mentorship programs where we are able to do that. These are some of the efforts which are making to address the problems which I have mentioned earlier. As far as security is concerned at the museum, there's a survey which was undertaken in 2009 of the security problems at all the museums. That survey was completed. We do have the report. Now, we are trying to implement the security measures currently based on that report. If we had enough resources, we would have completed the implementation of that. But the fact that with the new RAM project restoration and maintenance program of public works, which is done through the Department of Arts and Culture, a lot of work has been done at the Natural History Museum and the Cultural History Museum to deal with this matter. We have utilized the reserve funds, which the CFO alluded to earlier on, to address some of these problems, so that we may not be, I wouldn't like to use the word accused, to say, so that we don't sit on funds without using them when we have them. But we cannot exhaust them in case there are some rainy days where we may have to go back to these funds to use them for other emergency matters. Funding from DAC through DPW, as I have already mentioned, for security upgradings at some of the museums has assisted a lot, and we are still looking into additional funding on this matter. The physical security at museums currently is okay, even though we do have problems in some instances where there have been break-ins, especially at the Cultural History Museum. There was a break-in in 2008 where we suspect that security was involved in that. And there were some security breaches as well at the Military Museum, or at all the museums, on a number of occasions. So really improving security in terms of electronic security at all the museums is quite critical. Socioeconomic factors and poor exhibits, low entrance fees, designing new permanent and temporary exhibitions. We are in the process of designing some of these new exhibitions. Negotiating with PWD through the Department of Arts and Culture to actually absorb the utility fee. These are some of the solutions which we are trying to come up with. Now, here we are coming to the audit outcome for 2011-2012 period, and how we are going to address the audit findings made by the Auditor General. But as I have already stated that I should actually thank my colleagues for the hard work that they have put into their work in ensuring that we get an qualified audit opinion with no emphasis of matter for 2011-2012, no material findings on the annual performance report concerning the usefulness and reliability of the information, implementation of the outcome of organizational development exercise, restoration and maintenance program project, 23 audit findings reported in the management report. There are 23 audit findings, which I think I'll request the CEFO to deliberate on, and how we are addressing those findings by the Auditor General.
Thanks, Mr. Mahoma. The 23 audit findings that were reported on during the previous financial year were one, the cash management policy, which was one of the documents that were requested by AG. Unfortunately, it still reflected Northern Flagship Institution and not the new name. That was one finding, which we corrected that. But the other finding was to ensure that it is aligned to Treasury Regulation 31.2. We negotiated with AG that probably it's not advisable to amend it now. That is then in the last year when they issued the report. But let's rather wait for the new treasury regulations, which are being updated currently, and they will be implemented by 1 April. Once National Treasury approves them and issue them, then it's only then that will probably said 1.2 would change in the new treasury regulations. So let's make sure that the new treasury regulations are approved, then we can amend the policy accordingly and submit the new policy, the revised policy, to audit committee and council in April. In our action plan, we make sure that, you know, we've got deadlines and the responsible persons, and we submit this progress report to DAC on a quarterly basis as well, so that they track progress as well. Also, with inaccuracies, inaccurate surplus disclosed in January, too much budget, that was another finding that was raised by AG, and were making regular, or in fact monthly reviews are being performed just to ensure that there are no discrepancies. That is between the finance manager and myself. The other one was the effectiveness of the audit committee. The response that is here, the chairperson of the audit committee has committed the audit committee to ensure that this is in place by April in the next audit committee. A proper analysis or action plan will be submitted to council to ensure that the effectiveness is also conducted on a quarterly basis by the audit committee and submit the report to council. Supporting documentation not provided for inspection. We have since created a document movement register and access to the filing room, and it's monitored by the finance manager and the clerk in the department. A payroll certification, all unsigned certificates have not been returned for signatures. The Asia manager has followed up. We do have supporting documentation to every comment that I'm making here. We have brought it so that the members, if they so feel, that they can, you know, verify. That is there also. We make sure that on a monthly basis we do follow up on the payroll, the certificates, and ensure that they are all signed by the managers and respective employees. Hence, it's 100% now. Also, the leave balance not reconciled. We had, in terms of the BCA, we are not supposed to reflect. The problem arose as a result that we reflected everything on the payroll, on the manual the manual reconciliation, because we maintain the manual reconciliation, and also VIP, that is the system now, also generates its own a reconciliation. So the two did not match. The reason being, we're including everything, and in terms of BCA, there's supposed to be a portion of the leave balances that are not reflected, so that now we're implementing that. We have a We are having the roadshow
in April,
HR
manager?
Yes. Just to ensure that before we change, because it's going to consist, because the payslip talks to, you know, is reflecting something else, and the manual leave reconciliation would be reflecting something else. So we felt that before we change it, before the next audit, we do a roadshow to all the museums so that we explain the BCEA, the requirements of the BCEA. Then we can change the both systems, because they must have it. This is also related to the exercise that will be undertaking in April before the next audit. The provision for leave, which was calculated incorrectly because the manual and the VIP reports were not reconciling. Performance agreements not signed. Because of the challenges that we had with the implementation of the OG, not all employees had signed the performance agreement. in the, because the new OG was implemented in April 2011. And therefore, you know, yes, employees, those who belong to union, you know, because there are some challenges or dissatisfactions about the implementation of the OG, they did not sign, and that year was 46% of employees who had signed the performance agreement, but the number has since increased to 93 now. You know, because we managed again to explain the importance of each and individual that is employed by the by DSOM to have a performance agreement. We are getting cooperation at the moment. It has improved. No declaration of interest by employees. Subsequent to this finding, we requested all managers to make sure that all employees do sign their, you know, do submit the declaration of interest. We have the documents here with us where employees, where all employees have signed. I think then last week I was told that there are only two that have not signed. The reasons are cited. Less than five employees, sorry, have not signed the declaration of interest form. But we have requested managers to follow up. Because, you know, I think the managers were just given verbal explanations that we are not going to sign. Lack of general controls over information technology environment. The Department of Arts and Culture in collaboration with Safe Technology Agents have committed to assist the institution in addressing the gap. Currently, they have, CETA, at the request of the AC, have conducted a survey on the gap analysis, and they have issued a report. We are waiting for them to post the report so that we can submit it to the AC and they can take the process forward. No proper stock count procedures. We have developed procedures, and we've got a roadshow which is conducted by Supply Chain Department and Finance. It's scheduled for 20th March, which is next week. Lack of controls in inventory also is going to be part of the workshop that is going to be held on the 20th of March. Fixed asset register. We rely on Logi to upgrade the system. They delayed in uploading the assets, and because we were developing a new system, which is workflow. The workflow system is designed to help managers or the institution to run smoothly. What was happening before the implementation of the workflow system? We were at various sites. You know, the museums were not located in one location. So the requisitions from military museum, for instance, would be, you know, have to be delivered to Pretoria for the requisition to be processed. Check funds, survey, everything. But now at the press of the button, the workflow system is able to help managers before they can place any order to check on the system at the press of the button whether funds do still exist or not. And based on that, they can submit their requisition, you know, online as well without coming to head office. We have also we had some meetings with Logi so that, because this is one critical area for the audit, for the next audit. We are having a meeting with them next week, I think. Yes. They have promised, in fact, to come and upload the new system so that we can, you know, feed it with the asset register. Currently, we're keeping it an Excel spreadsheet to update the asset register. The technical error in accounts payable, which does not tally with the age analysis, also will be, then we thought that it will be fixed when the upgrade was going to be done or conducted in November 2012. But Logi is coming in the next week to finalize all this about the, you know, the gap in the system. And we have also promised AG during the interim audit that this is not going to have any impact on the incompleteness of the fixed assets. balance also of the success account, not zero at year end. I think there was an issue of not understanding the system by AG, although we tried to explain to them. Because the success account that was there was unidentified deposit. You know, if one, whoever from an interested person was, you know, requesting to make use of our facilities would deposit without making a request. So if we cannot allocate the deposit, we'll put it in the unidentified deposit account. Although at the end of the day, you know, we make sure that we clear it up. And we'll see, because, you know, they are more concerned with the success account, but we have changed them the name to be, to properly, you know, reflect what it is, which is an unidentified deposit account. AG seems to be heavy with that. So that, you know, when they go through that list, they can know, they can trace those deposits to the bank statements. The workflow has also been 100% better from achieved. The annual performance plan, they were not expecting quarterly, which are overachieved. When we report on a quarterly basis, we are required by AG now to, you know, you target 10 for a particular quarter and you are reporting on 12. Then they instructed us to reflect the overachievement as well, which we are currently doing now. Hence, it's 100% the task. Objectives not reported in the IR were, there were issues that were in one quarter that were not reported on, you know, if you trace to the annual performance report. But we make sure now that we, before we submit to the AC, the acting executive director and I sit down and ensure that whatever we report on relates to or is you can trace it from the APR. Same here, target not reported on the quarterly report. The findings,
Ms. Malone is the acting executive director for functions.
Thank you, Chair. The issue at point here pertaining to this finding here, I need to inform the honourable members that the strategic plan of Digital Museum of South Africa for 2011-2012 had to be reviewed. Reason being, we wanted to adhere to the SMART principle. So we have documentation of all the four quarterly reports here, quarter 1, 2, up to 4. But quarter one performance information report is based on the initial strategic plan, which was first approved by the council. Subsequent to that, there was a review of the strategic plan as well as the APP to adhere to ensure a SMART principle. Hence, these findings, because as we were reviewing the strategic plan and the APP, implying that quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, reporting thereof were based on the revised strategic plan approved as, I think, mid-August or so. There were those discrepancies when the auditors were checking whether are we following the strategic plan and the ATP from quarter one, and hence those variances to say quarter one, quarter two, there were those discrepancies, and then we furnished those explanations and presented the documents as they were approved. But moving on to this current financial year, all these issues that emanated related to museum's operation, among them is this issue, discrepancies, they've been assured that we are ensuring that, as the CFO has alluded to, that they've been taken care of, among others, what is currently happening subsequent to the final report of the Auditor General dated March 31st March 2012, subsequent move into the new financial year, we have implemented combined assurance, implying that, which is being followed as a present, that the directors, they have to, even if it's via an email, mention a statement to say, yes, indeed, we have verified the content thereof. It escalated to me, I check it with the CFO and the CEO, and then it's escalated to the subcommittee core function before being presented to the council for endorsement. But the comparison for the 2012 and the year that we are discussing as a present 2011-12, if we had to present that, that will attest to what I'm saying. Hence, this finding on the that I'm saying is being addressed. The SMART principles. This is being addressed as well, this finding, because of the implementation of the combined assurance, the steeper trend thereof, is evidently more in this current financial year, because that has been effected beginning at the first quarter of 2018 financial year.
I just want to say thank you, Chair. And also to thank Council for the oversight and support that they have given to management and my management team for their commitment in being able to achieve some of these things in spite of some of the challenges which are still there and which we hope to address. And thank the department as well for support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Okoro. Thanks to the chairperson. Before I think I will, before we come, I will ask us to break for 10 minutes. There's first here outside, then when we come back, I'll give one of our members their chance to ask questions, and then the zone will answer. But before we break, when we did the introduction, some of the members were out. Some have joined us from other meetings as well. At the back there, we have one of them, Sweli. One Sweli is a member of the member of the bank from Patra. And then we have Honorable Muruta Story at the back. She's a member of the ANC. I call him Mam Story, so don't be surprised when I don't say Honorable Story. And then we have Honorable Mafrana, who's a member of the ANC, and Honorable Moss, who is the whip of this committee. We can break now for 10 minutes and we can come back. Thank you.
Why not aware of this?
I'm from the end of some corner of the school.